Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware.
Hello, welcome to the Aware Heroes Neuro Summit. Today we're talking about our brain's ability to make decisions. And really, it has to do more so with our body's ability to make that decision. But since it's controlled by our brain and our mind, let's talk, for example, about making a decision. Are you having a difficult time making a decision? Are you really struggling or maybe unable to make a decision, maybe wavering a little bit in your decision-making process? Well, that usually comes from overwhelm or not having enough information, or your body is basically scrambled, completely scrambled. So today we are talking with my guest, who's Anne Weiser Cornell. And Weiser is a perfect middle name for Anne, because she really has a beautiful technique about a certain type of focusing. Yes, women, I'm talking about focusing. But it enables us to go from that state of overwhelm to a state of calm and clarity. And I'll share my experience with you in a minute. I just want to say hi to Anne Weiser Cornell. Thank you so much for joining me.
Wow, it's so much fun to be with you today, Lisa. I'm really looking forward to talking to you.
This is so special for me, because your information is the artful practice of practical presence. I just made that up, but you are present in your conversations, so present that every moment you're in full acceptance of. And I think that's such a beautiful way to live. What an awesome way to live. No regrets, huh?
Well, I love what you just said, the artful practice of practical presence. Was it something like that?
I did, didn't I? It was because you're listening. Very well. Good.
It's really beautiful. And that's exactly right. It's what I do teach people. It's what I've been practicing myself for the past 43 years, Working with this method. It is presence. It is embodied presence. It's using this moment-to-moment wisdom that we have available to us if we don't get in the way. Yes. And that's exactly what it's about.
Which in the beginning, my mind wanted to get into the way. Because I was struggling with my book is coming out, and anyone who's a first-time author would understand this, or if you've ever thought about putting a book out, you go through a doubting process of, oh my God, this is going to be on the shelves forever, wow. And so I've been struggling with that, and I'm excited about the book, but at the same time, it's a big, big step for me. It's a growth step. It's a beautiful step. And when I was having a hard time with it, I went through your practice, and I couldn't get through 10 minutes of focusing. Not at all. I'm like, this is just too slow for me. There's no way. Have you heard any of this before?
Of course.
It was great. I'm laughing about it because I was so in my own way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a wonderful way.
Well, you know, it's so interesting what you're saying, and I look forward to hearing the rest of your story, but I just want to point out that that's exactly what's going on when we grow, isn't it? We're taking our growth step. We know it's the right step. This book, the world's been waiting for your book. It's so exciting. And yet, right when we take our growth step, we feel these parts of us that have doubts, these places in us that are afraid, and if we have a way to not push those away, and to not get overwhelmed by them, because those are the two typical ways that we approach our emotional states. We either try not to feel them, or can I shove that down, can I stuff it, or it takes us over and then we are awash, you know, overwhelmed, flooded, swamped. And so we need a third way. So tell us more what you did.
Okay, so this is a really cool part of the story. So Wayne Dyer is writing my foreword, and I was so really grateful that he agreed to do that. And last night, as I'm immersing myself in your material and going through this inner relationship focusing exercise, I couldn't tune in. There was no way. And I looked on my phone, and I had a missed call from Wayne. And he didn't leave a message, and he didn't text me, and I thought, all right, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. He'll call me back. But I wound up going to bed because I was really struggling with, you know, this getting in touch with my innermost self. So I said, I went to bed, allowed what you're teaching, this very, very valuable part here where Anne teaches that there was only a part of me that's afraid and a part of me that's in fear. And so actually this is a great time for that teaching. And then I'll tell you the end of the story because it ends really good.
Okay.
What's that part of me that was so afraid? It still is a little.
Well, it can be as afraid as it wants to be. It may also have something it wants to tell you about what's making it so afraid. Mm-hmm. But so everybody can follow along on your story. All we need to do is have each person pick an emotion that you're either feeling right now or that you felt recently, and not an enjoyable emotion, okay? Because we don't need ways of handling our enjoyable emotions. We just need to take time to feel them as much as they are there. But take a challenging emotion like scared or upset, irritated, angry, bothered, you know, worried, anxious. Make a three-word sentence. I feel sad, or I am scared. Okay, so everybody watching, make your three-word sentence. All right, and now add a second sentence. Something in me is. So same word at the end. I feel scared. Something in me is scared. I feel angry. Something in me feels angry.
Notice
the difference. Okay. Yeah, you're doing it right now too. Just notice the difference, Lisa, in your body reaction to those two sentences. What do you notice?
I feel anxious. Something in me is anxious. I am not, with saying something in me is anxious doesn't allow me to identify with it as much as it is. I am means my whole being is anxious. Well, it's not. I'm still a mom and a wife and a husband, you know, all the other things I am. Not exactly. Anxious in those areas, right? No. Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Right. It's all about identity. Identification is exactly the right word. Mm. Who am I, right? Am I anxious? Is that my identity? Mm-hmm. We get confused when we have emotional states that is our identity, and our language helps us get caught. Mm-hmm. One of my specialties is language. That's what my college degree is in, and my PhD is in linguistics. So I've studied facilitative language, the kind of language that helps us shift our relationships with our emotional states.
I know, so, I liked you. That's my favorite thing. I love language. I love how I wrote a paper once about how language can be either used to completely change someone, or it can also be used like a sword and lacerate someone. I mean, just language.
That's how powerful language is. Powerful to put down, or powerful to lift up, powerful to enslave, and powerful to free. And so here's the language that I've discovered that's so transformative. For just one example, you say, something in me is anxious, and you can feel that change. I'm no longer so identified. Now we're going to try one more thing. Take that same sentence, something in me is anxious, and add the words, I am sensing. In front of it. I am sensing something in me
is anxious. I am sensing something is in me is anxious. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And you feel that difference.
Better. Better. Yeah.
Yeah. So the eye of I am sensing is your big eye, where you access your resources the most.
Hmm.
People often report that they feel larger when they say, I am sensing something in me is sad, anxious, upset, and so on.
They feel larger than the
They feel larger than the trouble. I have an e-course on my website. It's free. It's called Get Bigger Than What's Bugging You.
That's
what we're doing. We're getting bigger than what bugs us. And the next step is going to be that you can turn toward whatever that is in you. You're calling anxious. It's actually even more than that. It's something in you that knows something that you don't know yet about what's getting it so anxious. So,
What about overwhelm? Is that because it does feel like it takes over you completely?
It's absolutely the same thing. The overwhelm also is I am sensing something in me overwhelmed. Try that.
Something small that makes it smaller.
Makes it smaller.
So that could be maybe overwhelmed about, you know, sometimes when I feel overwhelmed, though, it's when all areas of my life start crashing and I feel like I'm completely lost control, right?
Right. And then you may need a whole basket of hellos. So we have people say hello to what they're feeling. I'm sensing something in me is anxious, and I'm saying hello to that. Well, I might need a dozen hellos. I'm sensing the something in me that's worried about my daughter. I'm saying hello to that. I'm sensing the something in me that's worried about my project getting done in time. I'm saying hello to that. And we might have half a dozen or a dozen hellos. And at the end of that, there's like a deep breath and like, oh, I'm still here underneath all of that.
What do you mean by saying hello? Hello to overwhelm. What do you mean
hello
by that?
Give it a try. So we've said, I'm sensing something in me is anxious. Now, let's use our bodies when we do that, because body awareness is the place where transformation happens. The body in the here and now is the point of power, the point of change. So when you say, I'm sensing something in me is anxious, then notice, throat, chest, stomach, belly, where do you feel something when you say anxious?
Right in my neck.
Ah, there you go. Now, lovely, very nice. So then inwardly, you don't have to say it out loud, but you can. You can inwardly say hello to the feeling in your neck.
Calls it out.
There you go.
Yeah.
So now you are in relationship with it. Mm-hmm. You said hello to it. It knows you're saying hello to it. There's a real relationship going. Now, along the line of that relationship, that feeling in the throat is going to be able to tell you more. What's bothering it especially? What it needs? What you need to do? And so on. You become the listener to these inner places.
It's like a little girl coming out from behind the curtain of a,
beautiful, beautiful. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Hmm. And that's what you call inner relationship focusing.
Right.
Inner relationship focusing.
The inner relationship is between you, the big self, and the something inside you. Maybe your throat has a little girl behind it, coming out behind a curtain. So pretty. Or maybe there's something heavy in the chest. Maybe there's something tight in the stomach. Maybe there's something heavy in the shoulders. It's, I'm sensing something in me. Sad, worried, upset. And then I feel it somewhere in the body. Then I say hello to it. And then you have created this relationship where even more can happen. Now notice how rare that is.
Yeah.
You know, most people, most of the time, don't have a relationship with their own feelings. We try to ignore our feelings. We push them aside. We try to argue ourselves out of them by saying things like, I shouldn't feel that way, or there's no reason for me to feel that way. We try to reason ourselves into a different way of feeling. We shame ourselves, unfortunately. You know, it's bad to be so angry, or it's wrong to still be grieving about somebody I lost 2 years ago. We try to make our feelings bad or wrong. It's how the society has often treated us. Perhaps it's how we were treated in our families.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different thing that can happen when we begin to be welcoming toward our own emotional states, be compassionate toward our own emotional states. And if we hesitated to do that, it might have been because we were afraid. If I'm compassionate toward this feeling of anger, if I'm welcoming toward this feeling of anger, it's going to flood out and I'm going to attack everybody or blow up somebody or something. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about acting out the feelings. You're actually less likely to be out of control and taken over by your feelings if you're in this kind of relationship with them.
What about embarrassment, where you're embarrassed for something that happened and you can't change it?
Totally, yes, it's absolutely helpful for that. So I'm sensing something in me is embarrassed about what I said to her yesterday. And then I can feel the embarrassment, you know, maybe it's red in my cheeks or something. I say hello to it. And then I get a little insight. Usually I'm open, like what it was about that bothered me so much.
Mm.
And I get a little realization, ah. And then I check with it. Is that it? Is that what it was? And so it's very different from trying to figure out why something bothered us, which often doesn't really change anything because we're coming at it from the top down.
Right.
This is an actual listening to what's here. And what I love about it is it often surprises us. You know, I'd love to tell you a story about a time when my body sense totally surprised me.
Okay.
It was a time when I do trainings all over the world, and this was a time I was scheduled to teach 6 workshops in Australia. And my first book had just come out. And I was kind of overextended back home trying to get things set up, hiring an assistant when I really couldn't afford it and things like that. It's about 20 years ago. So I went to Australia without really checking how were the workshops doing. And when I landed, I discovered that these 6 workshops had only 4 participants total. So, oops.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, to my organizers, I said, okay, put all 4 participants into this weekend and then I'm going home. So I got back home to California and I felt like and I thought, This is terrible. You know, I was supposed to do 6 workshops. I was supposed to earn the money to pay for the things I'm wanting to create. I'm in debt. I felt awful, just awful. But I wasn't yet focusing. I wasn't using my own methods. And I went to see my focusing partner because one of the things we love to do is teach people how to focus with another person who's like a buddy, you know. They're not your therapist or your advisor. They're your focusing buddy.
Which
I went
cool.
to see her. It is so cool. I went to see her. I sat down, and I was complaining, and I said, I feel awful. I feel like I've hit the wall. She said, okay, you know, maybe you'd like to sense how that feels inside. And, okay, so I finally paused, and I finally asked for the body sense of how it felt right now. To have, you know, to be back here having had, like, the failure in Australia. And my body sense was a sense of enjoyable vibration moving forward at top speed in a new direction.
Huh.
Completely took me by surprise. It wasn't at all what I thought it would be. You're actually, it's like from the inside, I could feel the knowing coming. You are actually moving forward at top speed in a new direction, kind of like being on a jet plane, completely relaxed but moving at top speed. And I could take that in. I was completely surprised, but I believed it. And within a month, I was out of debt, and it was all true. I was moving forward.
So that was in you the whole time?
I just hadn't listened. And so much is in us when we pause and listen, yes. Mm-hmm.
you teach that technique of becoming aware of your body and in the space that it's in. How did you become aware? Where did you find that feeling? Because the logical mind would never have gone there.
At that, in that case of the Australia trip, you start by feeling your body contact on what you're sitting on. Just become aware of your present moment. Here I am, here and now. Feel my feet, feel my seat, feel my back, whatever's in contact. Become aware of your breathing. And then let awareness come in to the inner area of your body, throat, chest, stomach, belly, that whole kind of inner area. That inner area is like a sensitive field for picking up your alignment, what you're really saying to yourself inside, or what's really true about you. So throat, chest, stomach, belly. And then you just kind of say, okay. You kind of bring your question in there. Best to have an open-ended question, like, how am I? So you might say, Lisa, how am I about this new book coming out? How is that right now? And just wait and notice what comes in that inner space.
Butterflies.
Butterflies are there. Okay. All right. So let's have you say hello to butterflies.
Okay.
Yeah.
And excitement is there.
Yeah, you're sensing excitement. That's right.
New adventures.
Ah, and that's the next step, new adventures.
New connections. I'd love to meet a lot of listeners and really have FaceTime with people rather than always on the radio or on a Google Hangout. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. So that sense of possibility, especially contact. Contact with people. It's
yes.
Like you're coming out from behind the screen into contact.
Yes, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Wow. And so that brings this feeling of excitement. And just take those words back inside and check with your body. See if you get an inner yes. Excited.
Oh, yeah.
Moving forward. There you go. You feel that inner yes. And that usually brings a relief or a deeper breath when you feel your inner yes. That's right. Very good. That's it.
And then you say to have a conversation with this feeling.
Right. Right. It may have something to tell you. And so you come back and feel it, and then you say, might you have something to tell me?
Ah.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what the conversation exercise is. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. That, I get it now. I get it. I was listening to the conversations piece of this, what you put together is incredible. Mm-hmm. And that conversation piece is where you get the juicy part of your answers, isn't it?
That's right. Hmm? And what excites me about it is, like, you get an answer, but it's not just an intellectual answer. As the answer comes, your whole body changes. You become that moving forward person. Like when I felt in my body, I am moving forward at top speed. It wasn't just something someone told me. I could feel it all the way through. So you get that feeling of being already in the next step of your life as you're getting that message from your body.
And that felt sense that you call it is something that you have not felt before. This is something surprising,
yes.
As you said.
That's right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, focusing is based on research that was done by my mentor, Eugene Gendlin. He studied people who were successfully changing. And he discovered that if you compare the people who successfully changed, compare them to the people who were stuck and were not changing at that time, you see one big difference. And that is that the people successfully changing had these moments of pausing. And not being able to say very clearly what they were feeling. And so they actually were less articulate. At least for a moment or two, they would say, like it's right here, but I'm not sure how I would say it. And, you know, everyone's had those moments, but we kind of feel a little bit ashamed of them. Like we're supposed to be able to always be clear and always be able to say the answer quickly, you know, like in my
not
50s.
Big stuff.
Who's got the answer the fastest? But actually, this wisdom that forms inside us, it's not instant. It's like it develops as we sit with it. So we need to pause. And sometimes if you're in a social situation, it even helps to say to the people around you, you know what? I need a moment to really process my reaction right now. I'm going to tell you how I am right now or how I feel about what you've proposed or what you've asked me. I need a moment.
It's a good way to put that pause.
And you can take that moment and then you can feel, not instantly, right? I mean, many people, they say, oh, I don't know how I feel. But if you take a moment, you will know. So we don't keep asking of ourselves that we know instantly, when actually we will know if we take a bit of time. And I know you know all about this because you're the awareness person. And so it's all about bringing awareness to how we are and not just kind of charging forward without that awareness. Awareness is the missing link. It's the missing link.
It's very interesting as I've, you know, just really dived into that word. Awareness is a state of being. It's an outcome. It's something that you arrive to, awareness is. And I love what you said about, the word that you said I love is radical acceptance.
Yeah,
That's a cool term. Is that a neuroscientific term, or is it a mindfulness term? Where did you come up with that one?
Well, it came to me freshly. I didn't learn it from anybody else. I was trying to describe what it is that's helpful to people. But it is based, you know, once I studied some more neuroscience, I could see that it's actually completely in alignment with the neuroscience theories. So that's a term also being talked about in mindfulness circles and other circles. So it's beginning to be more and more widely known that radical acceptance is what leads to whatever we want, possibilities, growth, fuller life, more calm, more fulfilling relationships. And specifically, because I don't personally recommend radical acceptance of everything in the outer world. I think there's things going on in the outer world that we would want to be outraged about and stand up against and not be accepting of.
Yes.
But what I recommend is radical acceptance of everything in the inner world.
How does that relate to neuroscience? How does that, you said that neuroscience backs up radical acceptance.
The pause that we need to make to radically accept, it opens up that whole territory. All of the available channels open instead of tightening. And the flow is open. The prefrontal cortex, the amygdala, and can work together much more easily if what we have is radical acceptance, because we're not fighting ourselves. Oh, the other thing I want to say about neuroscience is that it's now seen that the gut has more neurons, 100 million neurons, more neurons than the spinal cord, and over 30 neurotransmitters, the same neurotransmitters that are found in the physical brain. So we're starting to see, and I would like to say, the brain, the mind, is not just located in the physical brain, you know, that little wrinkled thing that sits on top of your spinal column. The body is the brain. The body is the mind. It's all those neural connections from every direction. That is what we would like to say is the actual body, mind, body, brain. How that works together. And so no wonder if you bring awareness down into your body is actually summing up for you everything you know, not just in your cognitive functions, but also in your neural functions, in your motor functions, in your history, in your ancestry. I mean, everything you know is available to you when you pause and allow that that felt sense to form. So the research that led to the focusing process was research that discovered that when people let a felt sense form, that was a potential moment of breakthrough. At that moment, they were no longer stuck. They were no longer in repetitive patterns. We get into repetitive patterns. We
right.
can't get past a certain locked-in reactive pattern to certain kinds of stimuli, but the felt sense is a loosening of those restrictions. It's a moment when transformational breakthrough is possible.
It's really amazing. The process is really quite simple. And if you wouldn't mind taking us through that exercise again, because that's really, really powerful. If anyone is feeling a sense of you know, the lack of decision making or overrun by your emotions or thinking that you are your emotions.
Right. Right. Well, you know, you started the show mentioning decisions, so perhaps we'll do a little exercise about decisions. And we make so many decisions every day, and I think the ideal place from which to make decisions is this body, you know, body-mind knowing that we can feel when we pause. I'm a business owner. I make dozens of decisions every day.
Right.
And I do it by taking a moment of pausing and sensing the rightness. And I get, like, how much should I charge for a certain training? I get numbers.
Yeah.
My body numbers. And then I try them and they work. Or another thing I do is somebody says, well, how big a place shall we rent for your workshop? And I tune in and I get a feeling, you know, 20, 24 people, that's how many will come. I say it, that's how many come. So most of the time, I think decisions come with flow. They're not a struggle. They should come easily. And I think one of the things that gets in people's way from making these smooth, calm, clear decisions, number one, we may feel burdened by past decisions that a part of us thinks we haven't made successfully.
Right.
And so there's kind of an inner critic voice saying, you know, you made that one wrong. You're going to make the next one wrong. It's an anxious part of us. And so we can learn how to turn toward a part of us that's afraid we'll make the wrong decision and shift our relationship to that. So let's do a little exercise on that.
Yeah, what do you mean by that? Absolutely. Let's do that.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes. So have you got, and we'll ask everybody who's listening, have you got a decision that's just, it hasn't been made yet? And so it's just a bit in up in the air, you know, how will I decide, you know, what will I tell those people? Have you
yes.
got one?
Yes.
Yeah? Yes. All right. Okay. So we're going to do again this pausing and take your time to feel your body's support and contact. Feel your body's support and contact so you can feel your feet. I like to say wiggle your toes a little so your feet really show up. Yeah, there they are. You feel your body's contact on what you're sitting on. So there's your, let's see, your legs and your seat and your back and whatever's in contact. You can just get the sensation of that. When you feel your breathing. Yeah, people do often close their eyes for this. Shuts down distractions.
Nice, yeah.
Feel your breathing. Then start bringing your awareness into the middle area of your body, that area that includes your throat, your chest, your stomach, your belly, your abdomen. And then you remember your decision. And just kind of ask, what do I know? Do I know right now what I'm going to do? It's okay to answer either yes or no, but let's pause and ask, do I know right now what I'm going to do? Do you?
Yeah, but what if you don't like the answer?
Oh, okay. Well, then that means something in you doesn't want to make that choice. It's not.
Right.
It's not what you're wanting to do. Okay, let's investigate that. Okay. So, by the way, if the answer was no, I don't know what I'm going to do, then we would ask, is that okay? right? So in other words, your body may be giving you a feeling, it's okay to take more time with this. I might need more information. I might need more resources. I might need more help from other people. Maybe this isn't the right time to know the answer. So that might be another thing that will happen. And also, do I feel confident that I will make the right choice for me and for everyone else? So what comes
in the way? I mean, the details, the evidence, and the all the information gets in the way as opposed to what's right.
So do you have a sense, like if there were no details, no evidence, no worry about how, what would be really right?
Yeah,
there it is. There it is. Ah, lovely.
But I don't want it.
Ah, lovely. So isn't that funny? There's something in you that doesn't want.
Ah.
What would be really right? Let's call that something in you. And just say hello.
Okay.
To something in you that doesn't want it. And see what happens then. That's something you can... Yeah? Get to know better. Ask it.
That lovely control part of me again wants to make it all perfect and control it all. And
this is a familiar one for you. You're calling it the in control part. That's the kind of part 100% of the time is worried about something. So check with it. Might you be worried about something?
So it's running the show all the time.
It thinks it should run the show all the time, but actually, it's actually just a child.
That inner controller, yes.
That one that thinks it should run the show, it's not really the big you, your whole self, from which we want you to make really holistic centered decisions. It's a child part that's been, it's had to be, it's had to step up. Because we weren't always this big self. So we turn toward this. Sometimes it's a part that says, I have to be controlling. I have to know everything. I have to predict everything, right? Or sometimes this kind of part, and I point up here because they often come kind of in the air next to our ears, don't they? Sometimes it criticizes us. It's even harsh. I don't know if you have one like that, but many people do. I know I have in the past. It says, you'll wreck this. You'll fail. You won't be able to do this successfully.
Right, right.
It's very harsh.
The what
it's,
if.
Mm-hmm. It's actually worried. It's actually telling you not what it thinks is true about you, but what it's worried is true about you. Mm. So you kind of say hello to it. And say, might you be worried about something? And it says, well, I guess I'm worried you won't make the right choice. And then you say, I really hear it. You're worried I won't make the right choice. And then it kind of melts a little bit, and you can start to feel it's a child. And then you can come back to, your own whole big self, making the decision from what you really know.
That's really the technique of getting in touch with your intuition without all the mind noise.
Yes, this is the direct route to your intuition. So many methods tell us it's good to love yourself, it's good to get in touch with and develop your intuition, it's good to know what you want and feel, but focusing teaches you exactly how. It's the how. It's the 1, 2, 3, 4 how. And you have with you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. When other people are so invested in telling you what you need to do.
Oh, my gosh, yes. They'll be happy to.
Other
people have all your life been happy to tell you what you should do. And so it's actually a revolutionary act to take for yourself the knowing of what's right. And this is like a compass inside you. Like, you actually have a compass inside you that always knows what's right. It's just that we need to learn how to listen to it, and we need to learn how to get through the tangle of all those kind of emotionally based messages that are not this compass. you know, the part of you that's afraid is not going to give you wise advice. And we wouldn't take advice from it, but we do want to say hello to it and let it tell us what it's so afraid about, so that it relaxes and lets us get back in touch with the actual kind of the compass, the inner compass.
And this isn't something that you could force or convince yourself of, right?
Can't do it. You learn the difference between talking yourself into something, quote unquote, I'm just making this up, and really getting it. And your body gives you instant feedback. Your whole physiology will give you instant feedback. You'll feel this certain kind of deeper breath, like that. If you're watching someone do it, their cheeks get a little pinker.
Ah.
Because there's oxygen coming in. The whole release process is happening, and you feel the yes all the way through your body. And each time there's that yes, you're moving forward. You're moving forward into the ability to be calmer, clearer, more alert, have more fulfilling relationships, the abilities to feel more self-confident, more self-loving, all the things we need to be able to do to bring our life purpose into the world, to really do what we've come to give to the world. So I just love it. Yes.
That's the thinking of something bigger than you concept, where you need to get off yourself in order to think of something bigger than you.
Well, you know, I've worked with so many people over the years, and what I've found is that when people are free to really sense what they want, they always end up wanting something bigger, something good for others as well as for themselves. You know, we were taught this crazy idea that there's an either or between other people and ourselves, that if you want something for yourself, you're selfish and you're taking away from others.
Right.
But the truth is that there's a common good. As we give to ourselves, we give to others. We model for others how it is to give to ourselves. I mean, if you're someone who works with others in any capacity, teacher, coach, or whatever, you know that when you give to yourself, you're showing your clients and your students how to give to themselves. And so, the more we help people get in touch with their deepest inner longings, it always turns out that somewhere in there is a longing to give, to contribute.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Isn't it true?
Oh, yeah. Always, and I see it in everyone that I interview, absolutely. Can I ask you again about the mindfulness techniques and meditation and some of the science behind this? Because I see this as when you go into meditation, this is a great, as you said, direct line into your intuition. This is a tool that you can use in meditation to bypass the monkey mind and go directly into the source of the truth, where your body houses that truth. And
that's right.
Where did you learn this, or how does this come into play with the mindful community and meditation communities and some of the science around that? If you could share.
No, I'm so, so thrilled that mindfulness has become as well known as it is today. Focusing was developed over 50 years ago.
Wow.
And back then was still doing these things that the mindfulness community knows about now. So we've been a well-kept secret. I mean, 50 years ago we were integrating mindfulness, positive psychology, somatic awareness, and how helpful it is to include the body, and being in the present moment, you know, and all these things that have developed since then. So, and I think that it's very exciting that mindfulness is better known. Focusing is a mindfulness method, but it also is mindfulness plus. It goes mindfulness and further. So mindfulness is this wonderful state of open awareness,
mm-hmm.
where we're not judging, we're not reacting, and in really dozens of ways, that's very powerful for your well-being, your resilience, your ability to face the stresses of your life. Your body can immediately feel the difference when you do mindfulness. And what focusing adds to that is that the felt sense, which is only found in focusing. Only focusing talks about the felt sense. Felt sense is actually wisdom encapsulated in your body. And so that you turn toward what you feel, and more than just accepting it, you dialogue with it, you listen to it, you let it tell you how it feels and what it feels that way about. Let it know you hear it. Feel the difference in your body. Mm. And that's what is added to the most widespread mindfulness techniques. They go together very well. We have dozens of people teaching both mindfulness and focusing.
I love the non-judgment. I love the wisdom part. I'm taking notes here because that's really powerful. Those two items, I mean, just to get in touch with that, people ask all the time, how do I get in touch with my own inner wisdom, my own, the lack of judgment and that all-inclusive part of me, all including, you know, I'm talking about not judging yourself and not judging others. Really super powerful. So could you tell me a little bit about what you put together for us in the offer so that people can take this to the next level? Because it's really a very tried and true technique, been tested in many, many years. And tell us how you have offered this and put this together for all of us. And by the way, theawareshow.com/Cornell, CORNELL. Okay.
Thank you so much. Yes. So, yes, focusing was developed 50 years ago. I have not been in on it for 50 years. And my own adaptation of focusing or development of focusing is called inner relationship focusing. So to start with, we've got the material for two CDs called Learning Focusing. It's my foundational CD course that you can download and listen to immediately and takes you through the fundamental steps of doing the focusing process and all the stages. Then, let's see, we're also offering my, what?
Within that are many, many, many exercises.
Exactly.
Which I love. There's a good 15 exercises within there where you are really helping us, you know, starting with basic exercises, going into more depth and more in depth and more in depth. So you could do them over time. I don't recommend doing all of them in one sitting because you really want to let this ruminate and practice as you go throughout your practical life, which is really helpful.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and also my book, The Radical Acceptance of Everything, is part of the package, and I just couldn't resist doing that. I'm so excited by that book. One of the articles, by the way, is called I Am in Pain. And the first line is, I am in pain and I'm trying not to be. And the last line of the article is, now I am not in pain. Uh-huh. And so the article itself shows really my process. It's my story. And I actually do the process of, it was actually an emotional pain over a certain relationship. So wow. Many, many articles like that in that book, The Radical Acceptance of Everything. Beautiful. Now, one of my favorite applications of focusing is to releasing blocks. I've used it to release my writer's block. Now I have 6 books. There was a time when I had none. And wow. I really despaired because I thought, I know my life mission is to write books to communicate what's inside me to the world outside me. And I just can't get myself to write. But I used focusing to transform that, and now I write with such pleasure, like, oh boy, let's write.
Yep.
And so I've got my, it's called The Releasing Blocks to Action. It's a whole course, 5 CD length audio course, where you'll actually hear me interacting with the people in the course, their questions of me, and the exercises that will take you, start with a block, and by the end of the course, feel the release of the block. You may feel it even before the end of the course. It may happen sooner than that. So that's there. Yeah.
I love how committed to growth you are. You really do help people continually transform and get to the next level and to the next level and to the next level, but through inner awareness rather than goal setting and something exterior and out there and pushing to the goal and getting it. And yeah, this is a beautiful way of doing that.
this is what I learned. You know, if I was trying to make myself right, there's human beings have this inner rebel, you know. We rebel. It's like, this is what made this country get to the moon, right? We rebel if we're told we're not supposed to do something. If we're told we can't do it or we mustn't do it, we rebel. And so you can't make yourself do what you're supposed to do. It has to come from inside. And you see this life force coming up in people. Okay, so then I created a brand new product for the Aware Show listeners. Later, I'm going to sell it to my own audience, but this is the first time it's ever been available, and it's called A Guide to Transforming Your Most Challenging Emotions. And we've got anxiety, anger, grief and sadness, decisions, finding motivation, and most interesting of all, the fear of feeling good. Like, if I feel good, doom will fall on me.
Interesting.
So each of those topics, there's two exercises, 30 minutes of material, not too much, and there's a beautiful workbook designed by my designer, who's just so talented. So you can follow along on every exercise in the workbook, do it over and over again, make notes on what came. And that's not all.
I really do appreciate you going through this, because in
your
mind,
is this okay? Do we have time?
I forgot to ask permission of the listeners to have Anne go through this, because in her words, for her to explain the experience that she put into these individual recordings and the depth, I mean, this is a huge, huge offer. And what she's about to mention is that you can actually have live personal time with her as well through the Google Hangouts, right?
Live personal time through Google Hangouts, yes. And also a $50 coupon on our very popular, famous foundational course. And the next one is starting on, it's a phone course. You can take it from anywhere in the world.
Oh, cool.
And it's starting on in 2 weeks, on March 4th.
So
we would love to have Aware Show people in that course.
Well, that, exactly, because we're very aligned with what you're talking about, awareness. What is your big goal here? I mean, what is it that you are wanting to achieve? What is your purpose with all of this, Anne?
Well, my four-word mission is to relieve suffering and to awaken possibility.
Hmm. Is it, do you have a certain belief, like a religious belief, or add a question, because many of your philosophies are very Buddhist in nature, and I love the, but I doubt that you have a practice, do you?
I don't have a practice. I'm not a Buddhist.
Yeah.
My spirituality is of interconnectedness of all things.
Mm-hmm.
And so the very ways that our bodies are interconnected within ourselves, I also feel, the more I do focusing, the more I feel this. Everything is interconnected.
Yeah.
And we start, you know, really things that we would call quote-unquote magical start to happen. Like, I just have the feeling that I should look at my email and there is something from somebody. Or I have the feeling I should walk out the door and there's somebody there who needs my help or who has help to offer me. And I think that the more we do these practices, the more we live in this kind of world, which is as it should be, where because we're tuned in, we are in a kind of dance with each other, a beautifully attuned dance.
You said something very important there, my wordsmith friend. You said a kind of dance, and this represents to me a kind world. What you're talking about, it is, in that sense, if everyone could practice this type of focusing and mindfulness, it would be a much kinder place to be. And our community is already a very kind community, so this is just deepening that. And obviously, you wouldn't keep doing this unless it was making an impact on people and unless people's lives were really, truly making a difference and changing. Are there people that you have helped? Have miracles occurred? Can you share any of that with us?
Well, miracles have occurred. Many, many people have been helped. People who had, like, impossible marriages, feeling like those relationships turned around, they became really relationships of ease and mutual love. People who've had illnesses, discovering what they needed to do for their illness and feeling really a big turnaround there. People who were you know, crippled with anxiety or depression.
Right.
Feeling and trauma, you know, because so much of what we suffer from, frankly, has to do with traumas that we've suffered in the past.
Right.
But this is a trauma healing process. And although trauma healing takes time, it is possible. We do not have to be stuck in the past. Mm. So beautiful examples of people really opening up, feeling for the first time they have real hope. I get emails and letters all the time of gratitude and people thanking me. And we have an advanced certification training program so we can teach people how to teach this process to other people.
To other people. Fabulous.
Spread the love.
That's so cool. I mean, it's great because the focusing part, and it's called focusing, but it's really getting in touch with your inner relationship, with your
right.
intuition, and that. Does it bypass the conscious mind with those noisy thoughts and get right into the real matters?
Well, yes and no. I want to say something about the conscious mind, and you were talking about the monkey mind. You know, I don't think we should ever exclude anything. Everything should be included. Inclusion is the spirit, the radical acceptance of everything. So what we call the mind, we will never tell it to go away. But we may say hello to it. So that we remember that we are not that. I am not that. I am the one who can say hello to that. And I may discover that what I'm calling the mind is quite often an anxious part of me. Hmm. The one that feels it has to be in control, that it feels it has to understand everything. And then it may tell me what it's worried about. And in so doing, it may calm down. Now, in terms of the conscious mind, we tend to create categories. It's one of the things humans do. We've sliced up our world into this is this and that is that. We label everything around us, which is great. The problem is when we get stuck in the labels. We get stuck in the labels and we especially perhaps label our own experiences. Like that relationship was a failure or what he did was a betrayal, you know. And those kinds of labels, we just keep repeating them to ourselves and then having the emotions that they bring up. You know, it was a failure, I feel so bad about it. It was a betrayal, I feel so angry about it. So can we approach those experiences freshly, dropping the labels?
Hmm.
And that's what was going on really in the story about my Australia trip. I had been labeling it a failure. I hadn't dropped down to sense what it actually was. And it's the most dramatic example. But it often happens that way. When we get below our labels, we get to what it really is, right? And then we're not so stuck. We're free to flow.
I love that word, the radical acceptance of everything. You actually even have a great recording in there about, I don't remember the exact name of it, but it's how to accept criticism.
Yes.
That was really good. I listened to that as well.
Transforming that inner criticizing voice is one of the most important things we can do. I feel sad when I realize how often people live under the tragic burden of a criticizing voice. People feel that it's actually true, that they're somehow less worthwhile. They believe what the voice is telling them, or in my language, they're identified with the part of them that believes what the voice is telling them.
Right.
Of course, this comes from earlier traumatic experiences in dysfunctional families, but it doesn't help to blame people. So instead, we show how to turn toward the criticizing voice and treat it differently.
Hmm.
And because it's always worried about something, and it's telling you what it's worried about. And it actually loves you.
Hmm.
You think it's your inner critic, but it's actually your inner lover.
Wow.
So the other day I was in the grocery store and I saw a mother chasing her little toddler through the aisles. And the toddler's like dragging her jacket and looks about to fall over and the mother can't quite reach her and the mother's yelling, you're going to fall. And that's not what the mother wants to have happen. It's what the mother is worried about.
Yes.
So very often, these predictions, these voices inside of us, you're going to fail, you're going to mess up, you're going to lose your friends, you're going to lose your money. You know, it seems to be predicting doom. It's actually telling us what it's worried about and what it really doesn't want to have happen to us. And you can actually transform that voice so that it actually starts telling you in a loving way, here's what I'm worried about. And almost immediately it will start telling you what it wants. Like, I worked with a woman, oh my gosh, this was so beautiful. She wanted to be a singer-songwriter. She had a beautiful voice. But every time she would sit down to work on her songs, she'd have this crippling inner voice say, you know, who do you think you are to be a songwriter? Hmm. And so I showed her how to turn toward that inner voice and say to it, might you be worried about something? And immediately it began to change into, yes, I'm worried you'll be criticized by other people. Mm-hmm. That's already very different. And then I said, will you ask it what it wants for you?
Okay.
And her tears began to roll down her cheeks, and she said, it wants for me to have my own true voice.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes. My gosh. And then I was in tears, too.
Yes.
And, you know, what I've learned is there are no enemies inside. There's no inner saboteur. There's nothing in us that wants to hurt us. Hmm. Everything inside you wants to save your life. But they may be communicating in old ways because those are patterns from the past that got you through this far. And now they can be transformed into a higher level of possibility. And that's how you do that.
I love that acceptance of everything. I just have one last quick question. Of someone who maybe has fears of things that aren't going to happen, like a fear of flying and fear of the plane going down, or a fear of things that aren't necessarily going to happen. How do you talk somebody in using your techniques into saying a part of you is afraid of that?
Well, I would recommend that somebody like that would say, a part of me feels afraid. Just try saying it. You don't even have to believe it. The words are kind of magical. And actually, I recommend something in me rather than a part of me. You know, they seem to mean the same thing. But try out a part of me and something in me. And see if you can feel that difference.
And which one do you prefer, or do you?
I prefer something in me, because when we say a part of me, many people find they're being divided up.
Yes.
But if you say something in me,
feels afraid of the plane.
It's kinder. It's kinder stays with your wholeness. So I just say, try saying something in me is scared. And then you don't even have to believe anything. Just say the words.
Well, these are just brain-changing techniques, really.
Yes.
So simple, so true, so real, and so effective. And as I said earlier, I don't even know what it was, just the artful practicality of these techniques are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. I mean, truly love, a part of me aspires to be more like you.
Wow, thank you so much. I'm honored and delighted.
I can't wait to practice this. Something in me wants to practice this more. I'm going to use this. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, to dive into these techniques and really embody them as your own and incorporate them into your language, go ahead, get the offer. The hours of training and exercises and practical techniques are there for you to just dive in, improve your relationship with yourself and with other people magically, just beautifully. Again, you know, 50-year-old science, probably even more. So go to the website, which is theawareshow.com/Cornell, CORNELL, and you can get Anne's amazing package here that she's so mindfully put together for all of our Aware Show listeners. And I thank you so much for being a part of this. Thank you so much for up-leveling our thinking today. I really appreciate being with you this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. A great pleasure. Thank you so much.
The pleasure's mine. And until next time, I invite everyone to stay aware. Thank you.